Oh, thank you. My name's Tracy and I'm an addict. Oh God, I feel a little bit nervous. I think it's just something in me that I've had since I was a kid. I was always a nervous child. I sort of looked at that when I first sort of come into recovery and I just thought, what is it? What is it? What is it? Anyway, it's like this nervous thing I've got going on, and it's from childhood, and it's, being in a dysfunctional family and not knowing whether, who's going to get a clump, or whether there was going to be a tear up in the house, or, whatever, and it's just sort of followed me through. And because of my chaotic sort of lifestyle, it heightened and heightened and heightened. So, even though I'm in recovery now, it sort of still stays with me. But it's manageable, and I've accepted the fact that I'm just, I've got anxiety, and that's okay. So I suppose really, I'm all about keeping it in the day. And so, I'd like to walk you through my day actually. Like I sort of got up this morning. I work, I work 5 days a week. I'm very grateful for that. I work with homeless people. I try and prevent homelessness. There's a lot of people like us there, a diverse group of adults, but I love my job. But today I'm really grateful. I only worked from 8 o'clock until 1 o'clock, and that's because I take care of myself today. My job is very demanding. I've got sponsees. I've got a family. Even though my family are in London and I live in Plymouth, I'm still emotionally available for them. So I'm sort of on tap for everyone. So I have to make sure that I take care of me to be able to take care of them. So as I said, I sort of finished at 1 o'clock. And from then I just sort of chilled. I went out, I went to an appointment. I came back, I laid on my balcony, I listened to some tunes, I drank some water, I ate some good food, and that was my day, and then I had a shower and got ready for this evening, and it's just a blessing, but I needed to walk you through my day because, it wasn't weren't always like that. Just like all of us, it wasn't always like that. I came in, well, do you know what? I'm not even gonna say when I come in. I sometimes can't believe, the fact that, I'm from South East London and from Lewisham, South East London. I was born in Camberwell Green. I was adopted when I was 2 and a half. And I feel very grateful that I got out, because not a lot of us do from London. And I salute anyone that has got clean in London and stayed there and still lives there. So I salute you, because I don't think I could have done it, and it wasn't until I sort of left London and come up here to Plymouth, where I live now, and resettled, got a beautiful home, got a beautiful life, but I cannot believe sometimes how I was this hopeless addict, finding ways and means to get more, injecting in my groin and in my neck, doing things that I wouldn't even dream of now. I just don't recognize that part of me anymore. However, it is a part of me. I'll never, ever, ever forget where I fucking come from, ever, ever. I never get complacent. I just don't. I do this stuff, what is suggested, every day, every fucking day. As I said, I have gone to any lengths to get what I need. And through my active addiction, I've done, and I say this because this is my experience, and my experience took me to jails, institutions, and death. So, I've done, and it's not to glorify, it's just to tell you my story. And I've done 25 prison sentences. I've got a fucking record as long as my arm. You know, I've done things for money that a lot of females have probably done, and a lot of males actually, you know, but that was how I got my drugs. I was one of them addicts where I was already thinking where I'm going to get the next fucking crack pipe, or where am I going to get to the next this before I'd even finished. That is how I live my life. My head was forever going, where am I going to get it? Where am I going to, you know, it was just insanity, total fucking mental, you know. Thank God I don't live like that today. Thank God I don't live like that. You know, and you know, I only talk about that for the newcomer and to share my experience around that. You know, and I just want to highlight the fact that, you know, it was said at the beginning of this meeting to look for the similarities and not the differences. Please look for the similarities. Don't look for the differences. Because I've recently heard how some people are coming to meetings, Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and hearing, oh, about crack and heroin, and, you know, and they never did that. So they feel different. And then they go out and try it and fucking die. What is that all about? You know, we need to make everyone feel welcome. We are unity. We are one. We are as a whole. NA is one. And, you know, and we should make everyone feel that included, you know, and I really feel passionate about that, because that is my primary purpose, to carry a message, whether it's at work, whether it's on here, whether it's meeting someone in the street who's bang at it. You know, I'll stop and talk to anyone that wants to hear a way out of what they're doing, you know. And yeah, you know, as I said, you know, I used for 36 years. For 36 years, and within them 36 years, you know, I started off with alcohol when I was 11, and I chased that buzz all the way up to I was 47, you know, and then I, you know, I couldn't believe it. Someone believed in me, and I showed motivation for change, and got offered rehab, and I come up here to Plymouth in 2009, and I done like a year in a treatment centre. And obviously with a treatment centre, that's great. You know, I got clean in the AAU in London and Wickham Park House. And then I came up here and done the therapeutic approach. I didn't do 12 step, I done therapeutic. I probably wouldn't have known, you know, I struggled with the literature when I first come in. So I had no understanding of anything. I talked differently when I came in. I dressed differently. I couldn't hold a conversation. I couldn't hold eye contact. I didn't know how to dress. I just didn't know how to be. I felt so uncomfortable in my own skin. I wanted to scream. You know, my head was like a washing machine. I was like, oh my God. You know, and in this treatment center, I had to do some hard graft. I had to look at what it was that kept me keep using, you know, and treatment is amazing, and I am so grateful for treatment. And what it does is it scratches the surface. So what it did for me was it got me to you know, look at child abuse, you know, domestic abuse, rape, you know, all that stuff that kept me using, all that stuff. Yeah. Now I came out of a treatment centre. I went into a supported accommodation, and then, you know, then I got a flat and I resettled here. I went into NA when I was about 3.5 years clean in Plymouth, and got a sponsor and got on with the work. I did the work, you know, and I stayed clean. I stayed clean and, you know, and I love the work, but I went through the how it works and why, the hardback book. Done a little bit of writing, not much. Done a little bit of writing, you know, and just continue to keep going to meetings and blah blah blah. But what I didn't realise then, which I know now, was that I was running on ego, perfectionism, pride, self-righteousness and fucking arrogance. Those are my main defects, and control. Those are my main defects of character, and they was what was keeping me clean. At 8.5 years clean, I went on a holiday with a friend and I had a little sip of her alcohol and relapsed. I only had a sip, don't matter, I relapsed. And the reason I was running on ego and arrogance and self-righteousness and all of that stuff was because my self-esteem and my self-worth were on the floor, and my confidence. So I had to be more than, because I felt fucking less than. You know, and that led me to that little sip. You know, the girl I'd gone with, she weren't in recovery, but she respected the fact that I was. You know, it happened. I didn't think I'd done anything wrong. I didn't even think about it. I went to a convention in 2017, the year that I relapsed, and told my sponsor. Cut a long story short, she sacked me. That's okay. But let me tell you, as soon as she sacked me, when she sacked me in that fucking convention, I thought, oh my God, how am I going to get through this? I felt so alone, so broken in here. I did not know what to do, where to go. But the women, bless them, they held me. They held me. They continue to hold me. You know, they held me. And what I did differently this time, what I did so differently this time, when I came back in, you know, I jumped straight back on it, got another sponsor. My pride, oh my God, it smashed my pride to pieces. But what I did differently was I came in at a different level of surrender, totally smashed to fucking pieces on one sip of alcohol. It was like another rock bottom. But what did that teach me? It taught me humility. What a gift. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm getting emotional, you know, and I used to apologize for getting emotional. Not no more. This is me. I am highly sensitive. I am a little bit weird. I'm kind of crazy. I'm off the wall, but I'm authentic. I'm real. And I have so much love for this program, for the women in this program. You know, I have some men friends as well. But when I say I am held, it just blows me away. You know, I'll be 4 years again on the 26th of June next week, or the week after, whatever it is. But just for today, I'm clean. Just for today, I woke up at 6 o'clock and I'm clean. You know, just for today, I've had an amazing day. Through this last 4 years, it took me 3 years to go back through the working step guide and do the steps. And fuck, I felt it, because I allowed NA into my heart. I allowed my sponsor into my heart. I allowed my higher power in. I allowed people in. You know, I have had walls up here so high, you know, and I'm stubborn and I'll kick and I'll scream. I don't want to be vulnerable. I'm from Southeast London. You didn't show weakness. You weren't allowed to show fucking weakness. Now, as a kid, I was told you don't talk to old Bill. You don't grass. You don't do this. And all of that ancestral, you know, stuff that is in my fucking DNA. You know, I don't even know who my dad is. I've heard that he was a, you know, drug user in and out of prison. You know, my mum is not very well mentally. You know, this disease runs like a river through my family. I've got 3 beautiful children. All 3. My 2 girls are cannabis dependent. My son is alcohol, I would say dependent, but in denial, but that's his stuff. But that's their journey. You know, I don't try and control my children. I just carry my message everywhere I go. When I go to London, I am who I am, you know, and I have an amazing, amazing relationship with my kids now. You know, it was so fractured and I had so many amends to make, but I make amends a day at a time by staying clean for them now. You know, it's all I can do. You know, I came into NA with so much guilt and so much shame. I never ever thought I'd be able to get rid of that. It was like carrying around this, you know, carrying around this big thing on my back that I thought I was never going to shake. But going through the work, you know, going, doing my steps, owning my shit, owning my part, making amends, looking at my behavior, changing that behavior, and really becoming, really digging deep. I always say it's from the inside out, from the inside out. And when I say I've turned myself inside out, you know, and it has been the most amazing journey. This 4 years of my life has been so spiritual, so beautiful, so amazing, you know, that I would say to anyone, you know, never, never give up. Never give up. Just give it a go. You know, the steps go in an order for a reason. One, two, and three, your foundation. Fucking hell, mine's solid, mate. My one, two, and three, I stand on that. Solid. You know, my four and five, honest, open, transparent, real, painful. But I did it. Six and seven, the hidden steps. Don't hide behind six and seven because them bastard defects, mate, they're all singing, all dancing. You know, I'm still a perfectionist. I still have control issues. I can still be very judgmental, but that's because I judge myself. I don't give myself a hard time anymore. I love myself through the pain, through the tears, through the happiness, through the joy. You know, I have got the most amazing life. You know, the most amazing life. I've got a simple life. I go to work. I do my meetings. I sponsor women. I do service. You know, I don't do ASC or anything like that. I haven't got the tolerance for it. I sponsor women. I do H&I service and sponsor women in prison. A bit of indirect amends, you know, and I do the do. I do what it says on the tin because I want to. I make that choice. You know, and I was talking about six and seven, then we've got eight and nine. Amazing steps. Cleared the wreckage of my past. And I continue to clear the rest wreckage because the journey continues. 10, 11, 12, the living steps. Living clean one day at a time. That's how I roll. That's how I roll, just for today, just in this moment. And breathe. You know, it's a simple program. We're complicated people. Just keep it simple. You know, all is well. All is well in my life. You know, the only problem I've got is a fucking luxury problem. And that problem is I've booked a holiday, you know, I've booked a holiday and I don't want to go because I don't want to wear a mask. So that luxury problem can get dealt with tomorrow, you know, and I'm going to go and change it for next year. What is that all about? You know, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did I get from that woman that I don't even recognize anymore? That poor soul, you know. And I just want to quickly say before I end my share, you know, I've done a lot of work with my wounded child. And I think that's so important that you parent that inner child. You know, it's so important. You know, and we've got an amazing relationship now. You know, I love her, I accept her. She's part of me because I am me. You know, that journey within, that spiritual journey is, yeah, I am never alone. You know, I can feel surrounded here. And that might sound crazy to some people, but let me tell you, it is a beautiful feeling, an absolute blessing. And I wouldn't have it if I didn't do the work, if I didn't keep coming back. You know, if I didn't do service when I was asked, if I get complacent, you know, I wouldn't have this stuff. It's free. It's beautiful. You know, I just, I'm just in awe of Narcotics Anonymous and the gifts that keep on fucking coming. You know, my recovery is my greatest gift. And I'll always, always, always be grateful for that. I don't know if I'm at the end of my time. Yeah? Okay, so I just, I just really want to say thank you for listening to me. If you didn't get anything from my share, keep coming back. And remember what I said, look for the similarities and not the fucking differences. You are welcome in Narcotics Anonymous, even if you've got a desire. That's all you need. Tradition-free, desire. Love you lots. I'll leave it there.